Booths are just a Dubinsky on here.
Mr. Dubinsky? Just a moment.
Hello?
Mr. Dubinsky on line two.
David?
Speaking, Mr. President.
Well, what do you do? Just relax and retire?
Just came back from a meeting of the Liberal Party Policy
Committee. Good God,
oh my.
What did you debate about?
Oh, the debate is about the future politics of New York City, which is the best way to secure liberal legislation and liberal congressmen and liberal people in the government.
Don't you think you've done enough to us? Give us Lindsay.
Well, Lindsay, not so bad. At least. He may not be so bad. At present, he's not too good.
I think you ought to be satisfied when they write on your tombstone like they did on Thomas Jefferson. I'm father of the University of Virginia. You say, I'm father of John Lindsay. Now, listen, we made great progress, and we moved this thing down where you're going to get just about what you want in your bill. And I want to know what you've done about the 7 million people we're going to have when we sign it.
What I've done? So far, I haven't done anything. Because I was waiting, Mr. President, for you to call me. You remember when we spoke Saturday?
Yeah.
And I understand you were busy. And then Congress, the Conference Committee delayed and met us. And now Friday they wouldn't be here, and we cannot have it anymore for Labor Day, I understand, right?
No, we can't have it Labor Day, but we...
We could have it for Sunday next week, following week.
We can have it any time that you can look over the 50 states and figure out all the problems that the poor people have and all the exploitation that takes place, all their needs. Figure out the noon hour and how many you can normally get, a million or two there, and figure out some dramatic place. I don't know, in front of some district where there's been a lot of exploitation or where your union meets or in front of some historic thing. Like we did the Statue of Liberty out to the immigration bill. And then we ought to get busy, started inviting people of both parties, inviting even your Liberal Party, your Liberal Party mayor. Of course, if y'all go in there and screw us up and elect another Republican, I'm going to make you eat him. And I'm going to play for keeps on that one.
I want you to know. No matter what we do, we have your interests uppermost in our
lives. Yeah, but remember, I got to be in on that pot too, and I got some. You and Alex worked out my interest on Lindsay. Now you let me work it out on the governor, because.
So far you didn't lose anything.
Well, I don't know.
And you wouldn't lose anything out of governorship either.
Well, not if you. I don't want you to screw me out of that delegation 68.
On the contrary, this was the topic of discussion tonight. It is my opinion, Mr. President, if I may be permitted to tell you, that if the Liberal Party can get a good vote and take away votes from Rockefeller, and take away votes even from the conservatives, any Democrat we endorse has the best chance to be elected. Any Democrat on the Democratic ticket and our ticket, plus our votes, has the best chance to be elected.
For what?
For Congress.
You mean for what?
For Congress. We have endorsed practically every Democratic congressman.
Yeah, well, I think that's right.
Huh?
I think that's all right.
Well, sure. And I'm confident...
Yeah, but who are you going to put in the governor's office?
Oh, that's a different topic.
Well, no, but that's a damned important one for me.
That's I'm not so sure that it's so important.
Well, you're damn right.
It's important for you that the Liberal Party is strong.
Yeah.
I think the Liberal element could play a very important role. 2 years later, that's right,
but I'm...
The party gets out weak, and numerically it's insignificant. I think it wouldn't be too good. And I am concerned that the Liberal Party comes out all right, that he can marshal our forces and be of value and help to you. Hello?
Yeah.
And that's my opinion, Mr. President. And I respect, you know, I respect your opinion, and I have very much at heart your interest. Be sure of that. Anything that will hate you, that affect you, or my friend, you could. I will not be a part of it. Now, on the other thing that you raised now, Mr. President, hello?
Yeah.
If you want to make a big crowd, naturally New York is the place. Now the question, it's a serious question whether it should be in New York. I'll tell you why, Mr. President. Hello.
Yeah.
I want you to consider it. To us it'll mean a lot, of course. To us, to the garment workers, to our union, to the city and everything else. But a lot of labor leaders and a lot of congressmen and a lot of senators may not look with too much favor upon it. That the ILG or I or the garment section should get the credit for it. I want credit. You know, I like it. Every human being likes it. But at the same time, I'm considering your interest. So if you think that you want New York, we'll get you a huge crowd some afternoon, any afternoon, after Labor Day. On the other hand, maybe at some place in the South may be a good spot for it. Or some place, somewhere else where we could still muster a good crowd of our own and crowd of some of the other labor people. And I don't want to be a hoggish and grab it for myself.
Yeah, but how much does the bill mean to your people?
It means an awful lot. But as much as it means to our people in New York, it means more to the tens of thousands of garment workers in the South. Our people, there are very few people that earn less than $1.40 or $1.60 in New York. Because our agreement provides for $1.60. As of now, the lowest pay for any inexperienced worker must be not less than $1.60. But still and all, our people appreciate, they know what it means for their protection against the people in the South and the people in the Midwest and the other part of the country will get a decent wage. So in other words, our people will come out. There's no problem of that. I could get to the garment district. If there's room, there'll be five, six blocks overcrowded. And if you consider to do it in the garment district, we could take a place where to go in and sign it, or we could organize a platform in the street to sign it. But in the garment district, you haven't got the place what you were mentioning. You remember you spoke in the garment district.
Yeah. Well,
President Kennedy spoke, and President Truman spoke in the garment district, and Roosevelt did. You could always get good crowds there. But in the other place throughout the country, we need you coming to sign anywhere. If you decide anywhere, we'll go out all the way. You just mention the spot that you think is most appropriate. We'll make every effort.
What do you think, Edward? We'll talk tomorrow, next day. But I think this. I've always identified this advance with your leadership. And that's where I started at $2 an hour, 25 cents an hour.
That's right.
Now.
The president is even less bad you made me.
Well, I did.
You never thought about it.
What'd you run out on me for? Why don't you come see me?
I'm moving, Mr. President. I'm moving from my office as president to the office of the honorary president.
When the president of the garment workers invites me to come, I come. I don't give a damn what I'm doing.
Well, I thought you'd get up deep.
Oh,
I know that you need it, I'd be there.
No, I know it, but I miss you. You're kind of a symbol to me of all that's good.
Well, sir, I apologize. I'm awfully sorry. I should have sacrificed. Because if not yesterday and today, it has to wait 2 more weeks by moving.
Yeah, well, that's all right, but we can be back together. You can come. You can have breakfast with me. But now you think about it. We won't act on it till about Wednesday. We'll take it up in the House. I'm sitting here with the majority leader now, and we'll bring it up about Wednesday. We got 10 days after that. But now you just think about what's best for the cause of keeping. Keeping exploitation from prevailing, and you started it at 25 cents an hour, and you tell me where is the best place to do it. Now, I think it's right under your umbrella, but you...
People to death, Mr. President.
Wait a minute, Carl, come here a minute. Here's a man passed the bill in the House and going to take it up Wednesday. Carl Albert, Majority Leader of Oklahoma.
David Dubinsky.
Yes, sir. Mr. Dubinsky, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
Fine. Nice to hear your voice.
Yes. Love to hear what the president
wants. Yeah. Well, listen, we've already announced that Wednesday we would pass the bill, the final form, you know, and conference report.
Yeah.
Hope it's all right.
Well, it is all right. We don't get everything we wanted.
No.
But we got a little bit more than we expected.
That's right. And I think it's a pretty good bill. Dent's done a good job on this.
Yes.
And he told me today, he says, this is a darn good bill.
You ought to be complimented.
Well.
And the president deserves a lot of credit, and you gentlemen deserve a lot of credit.
The other night, you know, when this was passed by the Senate, I was with the president on his plane going out west.
Yeah.
And he said, I want to talk to Dubinsky. I don't know if he got you or not, did he?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's when the Senate passed it. Now we're going to pass the final form of the bill on Wednesday. And when's the president going to sign it? Wednesday or Thursday?
Oh, he has
10 days. 10 days.
Huh?
Well, you'll find out later.
He hasn't decided yet.
All right.
Maybe.
He wants to talk to you some more.
Yeah.
All right.
Nice talk to you. And thanks a lot.
Now listen, David. What have you got things screwed up there where you're going to defeat a Democratic candidate for governor?
Well, I don't know yet whether we'll defeat.
Oh, the hell you don't now.
No,
what are you playing around under the cover for? What are you going to do?
Honestly, I don't know. I believe O'Connor will be elected in spite of me.
Well, are you all going to oppose O'Connor?
Don't tell us, Dave. Don't encourage him too much, Mr. President.
Somebody told me you'd quit O'Connor and gone to Trujillo.
No.
Great liberal.
I'm not going. You have appointed, you and President Kennedy appointed Franklin Roosevelt. He was good enough for President Kennedy, good enough for President Johnson. You ought to be good enough for us, too. I don't know what he wants it. I'm telling you right now.
Now, listen, don't kid me. Don't kid me now.
I am not kidding you.
Don't you.
Mr. President.
Now, what? Can't you all trust O'Connor?
Huh? No, O'Connor, that's a decision. We cannot take him now, Mr. President. We cannot take him now. This is a decision, and you know politics. We can't put all the pieces.
Well, who are you going to try?
Don't worry about it.
Who are you going to try to put over?
We don't know yet. We have no candidate yet.
Now, you know damn well what you do. Don't I enjoy your confidence?
No, I'm telling you, we are considering Franklin if he wants it, but we don't know what he wants.
Of course he wants it. He wants anything. You ruin him, though.
Yes.
You'll destroy him, and you'll destroy the Democrats, and you'll re-elect Rockefeller. That's what you'll do. And you'll hurt me, and then 68 comes along. We'll be all split to hell. And I believe O'Connor will do any damn thing the Liberal Party wants him to do, period. I just don't think there's any question about it. And I think that every time Labor's ever needed Hubert Humphrey in his life, he's been there. And he walked a mile, and I think you cut him to pieces. I think every time that you've needed me since I took the oath, I've been there. And why in the hell you fellas want to get up there and start a fight and defeat the Democrat, I don't know.
We are not beating a Democrat, we are beating a Congress.
Well, but...
Mr. President, do you know the statement that he made 2 weeks ago?
No.
Do you know something about the statement that he made? Hello?
No, but I know...